as we come to this Christmas season, how are you preparing for Christmas this year? Now, people prepare for Christmas in various ways. And as we know, they go out and decorate their house and decorate their tree and decorate everything. They go shopping for gifts for their family and friends and relatives. This is the way that we celebrate. And of course, we're all familiar with Black Friday and all of the Cyber Mondays and all of these things that have come to commercialize the Christmas time. There's a story, I think, that tells and illustrates how many people prepare for Christmas. The story is about a family. The father is named John, the mother is named Mary, and they have four children, two boys and two girls. And they are preparing for Christmas. John is decorating the outside of the house and helping with the inside. This particular year, he bought a bigger tree than ever. And of course, they had to go out and buy extra gifts and decorations and so forth for that tree. They had to buy gifts for their children. In fact, John had a sister that lived nearby and had a family, and he had to, of course, they invited them for Christmas Day and Christmas dinner, and they had to buy gifts for them. And Mary had an aunt and her daughter they had to buy gifts for, and other friends, and so they prepared for Christmas by spending a lot of money on gifts and decorations, and also for the Christmas dinner. On Christmas morning, they all gathered, the family gathered there early around the tree, and one of the boys read the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke. And then each one of them had a sentence prayer that they prayed. And Mary's prayer is very interesting. She said, "Oh Christ of Christmas, come be our guest today." That was her prayer. Now later in the day, they were getting ready for dinner, and the doorbell rang. And John went to answer the door, and he came back into the kitchen, and he said to Mary, "We have a guest. It's Christ Himself. The Master has come." And then she remembered. She had prayed, "O Christ of Christmas, be our guest today." Sure enough, she went into the living room, and there was Christ standing there in the living room. And then she looked around and she thought, "Look at all the money we spent on gifts and decorations and so forth, and we haven't even thought about Christ this year." And then she saw that He had opened His hand, and there in His hand was a $10 bill. It was the $10 that she had given to the Christmas offering for a needy family in the church. That was all had for Christ that day. And she was about to beg His forgiveness when He was gone. Now that reminds us that many times, without thinking, we pray prayers that we don't really believe are going to be answered. It also reminds us that many times we prepare for Christmas in the wrong way. We're all about spending, all about for ourselves, and not thinking about Christ's birthday is Christmas. So ask again today, how are you going to prepare for Christmas this year? And I think that we can find many answers to this question as we go back to this story in the Gospel of Luke. And I want to use three words today to describe how we prepare for Christmas. First of all is the word prediction. Now, from the very beginning of this passage that we read, we find that an angel of the Lord, it was Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, came and told Zacharias, who was a priest in the temple, and he was serving his duty that day in the temple, and this angel Gabriel came to him and told him that his wife Elizabeth, who was far beyond the age of giving birth to a child, they were both elderly, And yet, the angel told him that Elizabeth, his wife, would bear a child, and they would name him John. Now, this text in the passage says that this child would be a prophet of the Most High and would prepare the way for him. John was to be the one who would prepare the way of the Lord. It was predicted. Even in the Old Testament, we find that it was predicted that he would come. In fact, the 40th chapter of Isaiah, there's a passage that tells us that a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths for him. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall come straight, and the rough will make smooth. And all mankind will see God's salvation. Even in this song of Zechariah, his prophecy was not only prophesying the coming of his son John to be the one prepare the way for Christ, but also it was announcing that the Son would come and he would be a servant of the house of David. He would be of the lineage of David, and he would be the horn of salvation for mankind. Now, this is not the only prediction that is made in this first chapter. There is another prediction. This same angel, Gabriel, goes to a woman named Mary and tells her that she is going to bear a son. And he would be the Son of the Most High. And his name would be Jesus. And it tells that she did not understand this because she was a virgin. And as a result, he said, you will bear a son. The Father will be the Holy Spirit. He will overshadow you. And she didn't understand this, but yet he said, God has favored you. And yet she was willing to accept what God had said as truth. And this is also a prediction that was made from Isaiah. In the 7th chapter, it says, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to the son and will call him Emmanuel. There are two predictions made here in this passage. The first is the prediction of John, who would come and be born first, and he would be the one to go out and prepare the way for the Lord. And then also the prediction of the coming of Christ. The Christ child would be born, and he would be the Son of the Most High. This is the prediction that is made. This is the prediction about the truth about Christmas. This tells us that Christ is the center of Christmas. But also, let us notice the next word. The word preparation. Now, this is where you and I come in. How are we going to prepare for Christmas? God was preparing for His Son. God was able to prepare the way for His Son by sending John to be a prophet to announce and prepare the way for the Lord. And Zechariah announced that John would be before the Lord and prepare the way. That's verse 76. And Jesus began his public ministry. John went before him. Before Jesus went out and started his public ministry, John went before him. And in the 3rd chapter of Luke, it tells us that John went out preparing the way. It says he went out preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And he made the statement, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight his paths for him. He went out and announced, I am preparing the way for the Lord. And later, as the Lord came and he announced him and pointed the people to him, he made the observation, I must decrease in order that he increase. In other words, I'm coming to prepare the way. And then he's going to come and take over and preach the gospel of the kingdom. John's mission was to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. And while he was there preaching in the country near the Jordan River, Jesus came to him and submitted to the baptism of John. John was baptizing in the river. And he was baptizing for the repentance of sin and forgiveness of sin. But Jesus came to be baptized really as a prophecy and prediction of his mission. Because baptism is a picture of a death and a burial and a resurrection. To the Christian is a picture of the death to old sin and a resurrection to new life. To Jesus, it was a picture of the fact that he was going to die on the cross, but yet he would come forth victorious out of the water of death and come forth to live. So this is the message. And so John came preaching the message of the kingdom, preparing the way for the Lord. And then the next word we want to think about this morning is the word proclamation. Now, we've already mentioned that he came preaching the message of repentance. But when Jesus came and appeared, he came preaching, "The kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and believe the gospel." That's Mark 1:15. Notice that he came preaching the very same message of John. What he was doing was saying that John's message is the message of the kingdom. He was saying that what John is preaching is true. And all I'm going to do is come and repeat that message, the message of repentance. Now, the message of repentance is not just the message of the New Testament. In fact, if you go back and read in the Old Testament, this was part of the central message of the prophets, as they preach repentance from sin and trusting in faith in God. And today we are to proclaim the message of Christmas. You see, John was proclaiming the message of Christmas when he pointed to Jesus and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He pointed everybody that came to Jesus as Jesus came forth. But also afterwards, there were people that were actually disciples of John the Baptist. They were students and learners under him. And when Jesus came, he pointed to Jesus and told some of them, "You follow him." And there were those like Andrew and John and others that followed after Jesus. And then Andrew went and found his brother Peter and brought him to Jesus. You see, John was to prepare the way for Christ. Get everybody ready for Christ. And when he came, he says, "This is the one I've been talking about. He's the Son of the Most High." And he preached Christ to those who came to hear. Now, when we preach Christ, just as the angel told Mary and Joseph both that he would be called Jesus. You know, it's interesting in this passage that the Lord named John. In fact, it was interesting that fact that many people were surprised that John was John, because they thought maybe he should be called Zacharias the second or third, or, you know, some other name that was in the family. But no, his name is John. That was a meaning for this, because God named him as the one that would be the forerunner and the preparer of the Lord. And then when Jesus was named, he was named Jesus by God. The Father, God, named his Son Jesus. And the word Jesus means Savior. He shall save his people from their sins. He will be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's the Savior. That's what the word Jesus meant. But also, it's very interesting, as a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, he will also be known as Emmanuel. And that word means God with us. We're reminded that the message we preach, that God came to live on this earth. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, as John tells us. And then John also tells us, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the Son of God." How wonderful it is. God was walking with us, and he was present with us through his Son, Jesus. Paul says, "In him dwells the fullness of deity in bodily form." So Jesus came. It's like the little girl who said, you know, when I pray, I'd like to see a face that I'm talking to. Well, really, God gave us a face through Jesus. Jesus is the face of God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard me, you've heard the Father. God came to live with us. And when Jesus was here on earth, God was walking on the earth. God was with us. That's the real meaning of Christmas. The message of Jesus, the message of Emmanuel, is the message that we need to proclaim today to a world that needs to hear. Now, as we think about preparing for Christmas this year, I want to think about this passage. I want you to think about these three words. But I also want you to ask yourself, how can I apply this message to my life this year? Well, first of all, I think that we need to make Christ the center of the Christmas season. You know, there's a slogan that says, Jesus is the reason for the season. Now, you know that there are those out there that are trying to say, let's don't say Merry Christmas anymore. Let's say Happy Holidays. And we find that there are those who are trying to make Christmas season just another holiday. They want to take away from the real meaning of it. And if you take Christ out of Christmas, what do you have? You only have an empty shell. You don't have a real Christmas. And you know, I think as Christians and as churches, there are two times a year that we need to take advantage of the fact that we can proclaim the message of Christ. One is at Christmas. We can proclaim Christ at Christmas and make it meaningful because everybody's talking about Christmas. Even though some are saying Happy Holidays, there are those that are saying Christmas. We can take advantage also at Easter. When we come to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have opportunity to proclaim the living Christ who had victory over death and the grave. So let us take advantage and not just make this just another holiday. You know, you might remember the Seinfeld TV show. That was one episode that I think it was for other people that didn't want to put Christ in Christmas. You know, the father decided that he would create another religious holiday. And so he called it Festivus, which means Festivus for the rest of us. Festivus for the rest that don't want to celebrate Christmas for the real meaning of Christmas. And so they changed it to Festivus. Another holiday. We don't need another holiday at Christmas. We need Christmas. We need to proclaim the message of Christmas as it ought to be proclaimed. And then we need to take advantage of this season and let the world know that Christ is the Savior of the world. In order to proclaim Jesus, Jesus is the Christ of Christmas. We can proclaim that Christmas as well as make Christ the center of Christmas. We can proclaim that message. We have opportunity, as I already mentioned, in the church to just do that. And as we invite people to come to our church in the Christmas season, we can let them know what Christmas is all about. And then the third thing I want us to think about is that we need to take time during the Christmas season to worship Him. To worship Him. The shepherds, when they came there, it says they worshiped Him. That was their main purpose. And it's interesting, the shepherds didn't really have anything to give Him but their worship. That's really what God wants us to do. He wants us to worship Him. And what greater time can we worship and praise the Lord than at Christmas? The time that we celebrate the birth of Christ certainly is a time that as churches we can come and gather together. And as we gather during this season of year, we can certainly worship Him. Then we read about the wise men as they came to worship Him. But also they came to give gifts to Him. However, have you ever thought about the greatest gift that was ever given? Now we can give gifts. It's good. It's more blessed to give than receive, the Bible says. But the greatest passage of Scripture talking about giving is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And Jesus came to give us the gift of salvation. How wonderful it is that describes the grace of God. God gave. We cannot outgive God. God gave His Son. And at Christmas, we can give. And I think it's important, even though Mary in the story gave to the needy, maybe thoughtlessly, but yet we need to think about this. There are those in the world that really have needs of what we might give them. I saw on TV the news show the other night. It was displaying a little boy about 10 or 11 years old. And this little boy decided that this year he did not want to receive any gifts at all. But those gifts that were to be given to him, he wanted them to be given to other people. He wanted them to be given especially to those who had needs. He did not want anything for himself, but he wanted to give. Now this is the real spirit of Christmas. The spirit of giving to those who need. Those that have needs. And there are people all around us. And we read about people who are willing to do that. It's a time of giving. Giving to those who really need, and not a time of just receiving selfishly for ourselves. Now, I want to challenge you today. I'd like to, in closing today, I want to challenge you, if you would think about giving to someone outside your family or someone outside your relatives, someone who might really have a need, go out this year and find a way that you can give to someone else outside your family, outside your relatives. Make it a point that you find a way to give to someone who really has need. There are many ways of doing that. You know, there are Angel Tree and there are other things, the Salvation Army sponsoring that. There are other ways of giving to those that really have needs today. And just make it a point in your own life, every one of us, try to do that this year, and I think we'll make a difference. Because when Jesus said, when you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Anything that we do for others, we're doing it for Christ. If you want to find a way to put Christ into Christmas and a way to give to Christ on His birthday this year, then you can find a way to give in His name to someone else. And as you do that, it will be your way of giving a gift to Christ. I think that's the least we can do as Christians. Let us make it a day. The Bible says, more blessed to give than to receive. How wonderful it is that we can celebrate Christmas. Let's make this a meaningful season this year. Let's just bow a moment for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come today, Lord, we realize that we've sometimes thoughtlessly left You out of Christmas. But Lord, we pray this year we might dedicate ourselves to worship You and make You the center of Christmas this year. Might make the message known to others that You're the real meaning of Christmas. And maybe, Lord, that we might let everybody know it's not just another holiday, but a time to celebrate Your birth. The time You came to us to bring salvation. Lord, we thank You. And we want to worship You today because of that. We want to proclaim it to others because of that. Lord, help us that we might dedicate ourselves this year to put You back into Christmas. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. At this time, we're going to continue the message of the day of we have today to partake of the Lord's Supper. Actually, the Lord's Supper is another way of proclaiming